Freedom Fiends.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from Pod Bay. Sit and stay. 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. Loosen your leashes. Unlatch those cage doors. And distract your handlers to keep the shock collar and status from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Daryl?
I feel it. Thanks so much, Jeremy.
Excellent. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are back. We are the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy. I'm here tonight with Daryl. How are you, Daryl?
Doing great over here. Looking forward to the show.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, it's just going to be the two of us tonight. We had another co-host scheduled, but he's feeling under the weather, so hope you feel better, James.
Allegedly.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, no, you know, he's usually pretty good about showing up for work under most conditions. So if the big guy says he's sick, I believe that he's sick. So
I believe him. Yeah, this time and every time.
So, but we shall carry on without him. So we were before the show, we were discussing lots of stuff, and Daryl was pretty much just interviewing me. He was asking me lots of questions about lots of personal questions, which I'm actually fine talking about. So I think we may actually just start going into some of this stuff tonight and just having a conversation. Since I've been trying for over a year now to get you on my other podcast, and we just still haven't worked that out. So heck, the two of us are here tonight. Let's just do an interview this way.
Here you go. You got me.
Yeah.
Any question, any answer.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, we'll get to you. We'll get to you in a minute. Let's start with me.
Okay. I'll ask you the questions.
Yeah. No, just because you had a bunch of questions for me that we were talking before the show. And I said we should save some of it because it'll probably lead us into some overall topics that I think you and I share some similar views on. So it could be interesting.
So, not to bury the lead, starting out, both me and Jeremy are parents.
Yes, that we are.
Yeah. And along with parenting comes all these decisions that are just theoretical for all you non-parents out there, but become very real, you know, because you have a choice to make a choice, or if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice, you know, that's the way it goes. So, yeah, I brought up that powerful question of vaccination. Did you choose to do that?
Yeah. And no, I did not choose to do that. I didn't choose. Well, actually, I was going to say I didn't choose for myself either, which I didn't. Although at one point in my life, I did kind of sort of choose because I revaccinated myself when I was told I had to for college. But when it came to my kids, when they were born, I was still kind of like in an iffy place about the whole vaccine thing. I wasn't really sure about it. I had done a little bit of research, but I still had a lot of questions. And when they were first born, I still was a good little statist to a certain extent. So there were certain things that I didn't really question, and other things that I only questioned only so far. So I was still, like I said, I was still kind of iffy when they were born. And so was my ex at the time. Well, at the time she wasn't my ex, but at the time she was also a little iffy. And, you know, we were prepared to go in and ask a bunch of questions and hopefully get some answers. And then at the hospital, because they were born 2 months premature, they spent the first month of their life in the NICU. And they had a bunch of shots that I don't really recall consenting to, and I remember my ex putting up a little bit of a fight at the beginning, but there was so much pressure, and I think this was something I told you before the show, there was a lot of pressure from her family, my family, the doctors, and then there was even some threats placed against me when I started to throw a hissy fit about all this and ask too many questions. I was basically told that, you know, if I didn't go along with certain things, like this early vaccine regimen they wanted to put them on, even getting them like their social security card and all this stuff, like all these things put together, I was told that there was a chance that I could be arrested and they wouldn't let me have my kids if I didn't play ball, basically. And I was in a very precarious position at the time because my ex and I, we never actually got married. So from the time that they were born, I was kind of in a bad spot. Because yep. if something did happen between us, which it did eventually end up happening, I was in a really bad position because we were never legally married. The kids had my last name on their birth certificate and stuff, but that, you know, the way the court systems work here, that doesn't necessarily matter because the, you know, the woman usually gets preferential treatment in those situations. So I kind of felt like I didn't have much of a choice other than to sit down and shut up just a bit. So I kind of did, and you know, feeling I didn't have a choice, especially because I did almost get arrested one night for when they woke us up, when the, you know, the girls were still in the NICU, and they woke us up by calling us one night to tell us that one of them was sick, and they weren't sure what happened, and they thought that there was a possibility that my child, who was in the NICU, which is supposed to be the like cleanest, you know, most sterile place in the entire hospital, had somehow contracted meningitis, even though they hadn't seen anybody. But my ex and I, who had, you know, scrubbed, like changed our clothes and scrubbed up and done everything we were supposed to do when we got there, besides us, they hadn't seen anybody but nurses and doctors for weeks. So how they contracted meningitis somehow, I was very confused. But they actually ended up giving my then only 2-week-old daughter, which meant she was still a month and a half before she was even supposed to be on this, actually be out in the world, gave her a spinal tap. And I lost my, I drove to the hospital that night to try to stop it. And I was barred by security and I was threatened with the cops showing up if I didn't leave immediately. And I lost, you know, obviously I lost it. So between the combination of all those things, when I was told another time that I might end up in jail and my kids were going to be taken away from me if I didn't play ball, I was kind of like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what would you do in that situation?
That's a tough question, but just for like the listeners out there, NICU, neonatal intensive care unit.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
just no, that's cool. I mean, this whole thing was a prelude because this was where you were beginning to think about doing your own research and your own thinking. So how far did you take your thinking on this subject, Jeremy?
Well,
so far.
Well, Daryl, I continued to read. I continued to do research and I continued to be more mad. And I think I did a Lulbert's episode about this a few months back with Jim Jesus because he wanted to nail me on this because he had seen something about me saying something against vaccinations, and he's very he hates anti-vaxxers. I've maintained, and I did during that episode, and I've still said, like, I mean, like, I would never consider myself an anti-vaxxer because I don't like the way the system is set up, and I still have way too many questions. And, you know, that's where I was left. And the way I was treated, the way my kids were treated, the way this whole, you know, it didn't make it any better for me. You know, it's just, you know, I can understand the supposed logic behind how they're supposed to work and the idea of herd immunity and all these things like that. It makes sense to me when people explain these things to me. But then when I have questions like, well, why is there a vaccine court that's so hard to actually get a case in front of? And that there's this extremely little time limit that you can actually file things. And why aren't you actually allowed to sue the people who produce these things? And why is everything protected like this? And why has the amount of vaccines jumped from, like, you know, a handful when I was a kid to like 30 now? And why are they all given at the same time? You know, like, when I start asking those questions and it makes other people uncomfortable, or they just want to, you know, that's when I'm like, well, this is why I still have questions.
Well, I love asking tough questions like that, and I love seeing people squirm because, you know, then it starts going into the ad hominem thing. It's actually three responses, you know, fight, flight, or freeze. Those are usually the three ways. You know, either the angry ad hominems kind of start flying, or they run away, and I suppose we could just agree to disagree, or they just freeze up. It's like radio silence.
Yeah.
Those are the frequent things. Or, you know, I never thought about that. Huh, I wonder why they're dishing out so much money to all these damaged children. That's a lot of money, or rather the parents thereof. You know,
well,
that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money for individual cases, but that was my problem when I first stumbled upon the vaccine court. It wasn't the fact that, I mean, put aside the fact that the money, you know, wherever the money comes from and stuff, and usually when government's involved, well, it's coming from us to begin with, so it's like, you know, we're kind of paying ourselves. When it came to that, my bigger issue was not necessarily the big payouts. It was the fact that it's so hard to actually get a case in front of the vaccine court, because there's like these very short timetables on when you're allowed to actually file a case. And if you, it's one of those things like you miss it by a day. Oh, sorry. You know, it's statute of limitations. Can't do anything about it anymore. You know, and there was stuff like that I kept coming across, and I'm like, well, that just seems really convenient, you know, like, because there are reactions to vaccines that I've seen happen. I've seen it happen to children. I've seen it happen to animals, you know, that are instantaneous. There's other ones that take a little while longer, you know. You don't actually know what you put anything in a child's body, whether it be a vaccine or food you're not familiar with, you know, some kind of processed food, or like you don't know what actually is going to happen a little later on. So when you put some type of short window on that, it's like, well, then there you go. You're necessarily preventing a certain percentage of people to even get any type of justice for these situations, you know?
Now there's going to be the doubting people listening, and, you know, maybe even the overlord of the Freedom Fiends altogether, who might question some of what we're saying right now, right? But I'm just saying maybe. Some people are going to question this stuff. And
if I felt like pulling my phone out and getting the pocket alibi up, I would hit the allegedly button. Let's just pretend I hit that and just cover that.
Just, you know, allegedly.
Everything Daryl and I say, we're just, you know, giving food for thought there. But yeah. You're asking specifically about my situation. And like I said, this is what I dealt with, you know, and all of that, you know, when you already have a bad taste in your mouth and you have an inkling of, you know, something possibly being wrong to begin with. And then this is how your first experience, like head-on experience, is with it. Yeah. People wonder why.
That's
I'm skeptical.
That's food for thought.
But,
I'm going to question things. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Freedom Fiends returns.
Yes, that is us, and we're back. We were talking about the rough time my kids had coming into this world and being welcomed by Big Pharma. You know, it's pleasant. Gotta love it.
Well, I wonder how much money they made.
Off of me, I have no idea. But, you know, I'm sure. Well, actually,
insurance.
Off of my kids through insurance, I'm sure people made a decent amount of coin. I mean, like I said, they spent the first month of their life in the NICU, and you know, two of them. So I can only imagine what that would call. I mean, I have no idea, because my ex handled all that stuff. She had the insurance through her. through her job at the time. So I think that was covered through that. So, but yeah, I can only imagine because I've seen bills that come through situations like this, and you know, it's almost like the jokes you used to hear about the government. You know, when you look at a government budget and you see like the $6,000 hammer and stuff like that, it's kind of written out like that. You know, just these exorbitant charges for all these crazy little things.
Oh yeah, there was a Stossel thing about that $2 million bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Exactly. So, you know, I can imagine people made a good deal of money off my children. But it was, you know, it was, you know, we were talking about how, you know, certain people's reactions to this type of conversation. I mean, it's one thing to have a discussion or even a debate about this with somebody. But like I said, for me, it was the actual like doctors and stuff that I was dealing with, you know, and the pressure that I was getting from them. That was the most disconcerting. Like I expected backlash from my family and friends and stuff like that. Like that made total sense to me. I just expected that to come. But you know, the full court press from the doctors, I mean, even that's what finally turned the tide for my ex, because even she noticed it when she started asking more questions. And like, you know, we went through a couple of pediatricians at first because their answers to our questions, like the one doctor who, when my daughter had been given multiple shots, and I don't even remember which one it was, and then they took titers and found that there was nothing there, like nothing was taking. And my ex, you know, very innocently asked, well, what, you know, what happens, like, if you know, you've given it to her like once or twice now and it's not doing, like, what happens? And the doctor's reaction was, well, we just keep sticking her until they take. You know, that was kind of like, that set up warning flags for my ex. She's like, wait a minute. You mean you're just going to keep poking my daughter, who's like still at this point, like, you know, technically, I think barely should have been on the out of her belly on the planet now, you know, because, you know, it was like hovering around the 2 month mark when they were still supposed to be born, you know, if they had gone full term. And, you know, you're just going to keep sticking her. And yeah, of course. And just like that attitude. And then like when you ask the pediatricians if you can see the inserts, you know, that come with the vaccinations, you know, with all the the recommendations and the warnings and all that stuff, and they give you a hard time about seeing those. It's like really weird. Like, wait, what's going on here? Like, I want to see these things, you know. Or when you drop it on one doctor, just seeing what would their reaction to be like, hey, I have this release form here for, you know, this form I want you to sign.
Ooh, I've got a release form for that.
Yeah, that says, you know, that you're standing behind the efficacy of these things and all this stuff, and you know, it's gonna perfectly.
Oh, you're
safe.
You're ready to pay for any damages. You know,
yeah,
it's a full release form, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly, and they get all freaked out, and it's like, oh yeah, see, it's. It's not as cut and dry as you like to make it seem, you know, because so many people just come through the doors and they just automatically assume, well, that's what the doctor says, so that's what you're supposed to do. And, you know, whether when it comes to this or anything, whether it is right or wrong, it's just that mentality that so many people don't even think to question and look at anybody you or I and go, well, you're crazy for even questioning. Why would you question this?
Jeremy, when did you start hating science?
Oh, I've had a long hatred for science, probably going back to my fifth grade year when my science teacher and I battled it out every day in school.
Yeah, actually, what I really started hating long ago were people who had some type of addiction to being certain about conclusions, you know? A severe lack of humility and a serious amount of firm certainty. And, you know, years later, well, time will tell. We'll see what happens with this whole vaccine thing.
Yeah, that's...
We'll see what happens.
You know, it's been an interesting history so far. Can't wait to see what the next couple of decades brings. But we'll be back after this trip to the market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hi there. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link at the top right, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it.
We're still here, and we've been talking about some adventures in parenting and stuff like that. And one of the other things we had talked about off mic was just the idea of, you know, people like ourselves, you know, when you get into situations where you may have had a child or two or more with an individual and things didn't work out, and then what do you do from there, you know? And the idea of co-parenting, I think, would probably seem foreign to a lot of people who go through, like, you know, I know my parents in particular, when they went through their divorce, if the idea of co-parenting had been brought up to them, they both probably would have just, like, you know, just stared the person down with those, you know, daggers, and like, what are you even talking about? We us work together? No, that's why we're separated.
I think I could see the hint of the middle finger in each of their eyes.
Yeah, exactly. but you know, it's, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, it's something that I decided, you know, when my ex and I first split up, it was tough because, well, things were pretty ugly. I was not a big fan of hers for obvious reasons, because, you know, she took my kids from me and used the court system against me. And, well, being an anarchist and being somebody who wanted nothing to do with the court system, and it even requested that if this was the way it was going to go, could we please, you know, do it privately and not have to deal with the courts and not have to get the state involved. And you know, I was ignored, so that hurt. And it was tough for me, and I didn't really want to do much of anything with her, much less co-parent with her. But after a while, I kind of thought about it for a long time, and her and I talked about it and realized that, well, you know, despite what we may feel for each other, despite how the feelings may have changed for each other, what's most important is the kids and how, you know, what we do the best for them. So that's why, I mean, that's why we made the decision that, you know, if anything, we're going to have to try to work together. And, we really do try to co-parent the best we can. You know, we, try to keep things basically the same. You know, obviously we do different activities with them. When, you know, they spend time with her, they spend time with me. We do different things. We obviously react to things differently. But as far as, I don't even know what the word is, because I don't like to even use the word discipline, because we don't, you know, we're not spankers. We're not, you know, we don't do that.
Helping encourage them to understand and create their own boundaries effectively, something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines. We try to do the same type of things, you know, whether we're you know, whether they're there or they're here or we're working together, because we do, you know, we still try to do like different family days and stuff, and we still do dinner together, you know, a couple, you know, once or so during the week. just so they still get the, you know, the sense that, you know, we, mommy and daddy don't hate each other anymore. And even though we live separately, and even though that, you know, we spend time apart, you know, in different situations like this, it's still like the continuity where it's like, you know, they can't get away with things where, you know, I remember as a kid when I would, you know, after my parents split, you know, you get away with, you don't, you know, mom tells you you can't do something, you go hang out with dad and say, hey, can I do this? And if it's, you know, if he even bothers to ask, did you ask your mother? You just say yes. And you, oh, okay. You know, like there's not a lot of that because, you know, because we try to treat them the same. So there's not a, you know, if I say no, I'm pretty sure that, you know, even though I try not to say no to much about with them. But if, you know, if I have to say no to something, I'm pretty sure that my ex would say no as well. So it's not like I have to worry about them running back and going, oh, well, mommy lets us do it, so we'll just wait till we go there type of thing. So what about you,
man? Example of that? Oh, yeah, you can ask me about me.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you. Yeah, what about you? How do you handle this as somebody who's been through a, you know, similar thing?
Well, this is going back in time because my daughter's 21 now. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was back in the day. I lived in the same town, so I lived almost like 10 minutes drive away, often from where, you know, my daughter's mom lived, and I got in a very bad relationship for a period of time, which did result in us lacking communication, because literally I was with someone who just hated that I was still friends with my daughter's mom. And, you know, that, you know, we had a similar sense of humor and could see all these things in common and such like that. And so basically, in the lack of communication, she had no recourse but to sort of make it so that I just communicate something. And then, you know, went to, took me to court, and I had a child support payment to pay for pretty much every single month until she turned 18 and graduated. Because, by the way, in the Vermont state laws, it's not just turning 18, it's turning 18 and graduating high school. So all the way through that, I paid the child support, you know. We agreed, though, on everything. And by the way, the child support was very minimum. Like, I truly wish that I had way more money to, you know, throw down. But in general, here's the deal. While I was in Vermont, when I was actually my daughter's parent, like in real, like in person, that was all the way from like when she was born till 11 and a half. Please keep this in mind. I made a powerful choice. I would call it a big mistake to move here away from her before. So that's my tragic story right there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Really impacted my daughter in a pretty harsh and negative way by me moving away when she was 11 and a half. Though I did have the funds through the new marriage that I was in to send her out here periodically and to meet up with her in Washington State and things like that and see her in Vermont occasionally. But it really was not, you know, like a long distance parenting, that's not it's not real parenting. So before that, though, here's the deal. I just pretty much agreed with her mom on almost everything, on punitive anything, on basically encouraging her to learn her own limits, encouraging her to make her own boundaries. She respects our own personal properties and owns her own things. It was very quickly, you know, like from young age, moving in that direction of autonomy. That's how it worked, Jeremy. It was really like, that part was really cool, but I made big mistakes, like moving here before she was old enough, you know?
Sure.
This is humility. That was huge. I didn't even understand the magnitude of what I've done until like this last year, basically. I'm still reeling from it to some degree.
Wow. A decade later, almost, I guess then.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was in denial, you know? I was saying I needed to do that. I was going to, you know, I needed to go and marry that woman, not her mom, by the way, just someone else. You know, I needed to, you know, try to hold that relationship. I need to see if I could get money that would, you know, benefit me and my daughter and our life and lift us up in proper good ways kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All for naught, by the way, you know. So my daughter's mom forgave some of that, but not all. So it's like a huge sticking point, I would say. It's not like a great, perfect relationship. But we're cordial. Like, when I'm in Vermont, I can stay there for the most part. She's nice to me.
Oh,
you know, we can hang out. Yeah, yeah. And I really like her choice in husband that she's got now. And, you know, that's great. And it's co-parenting. It's a challenge.
Well, yeah, but before that happened, though, I mean, there was definitely quite a few years that you were working together then, though, still close by.
Yeah, there were years like between, like, there was one bad relationship where things were shut down communication-wise for about 7 months or so. But besides that, yeah, we were in communication, and she was going back and forth between us almost equal time. On occasions, you know, there were times where I had her 4 days of the week and she had her 3 days of the week.
Sure, you know? Sure, sure.
There was certainly occasions like that was awesome.
But you had said before that you agreed with all these things with her. Now, was it you just agreeing with her just to make nice, or did you actually, like, it wasn't even like a struggle? It was like, this is what she wanted to do, and you're like, oh, that's perfect. That's exactly how I want to handle things.
We agreed on real things. We agreed on medical things like vaccination, but all the medical things. We agreed certainly to not do any types of punishment. If anyone like out there is like on a computer and you can look up the continuum concept, that's a form of parenting, continuum concept parenting. You know, she turned me on to that before, like while she was gestating, basically before I was actually a dad. Mm-hmm. The book kind of really helped me see what was wrong with parenting in general. Like in the Western world, what was wrong? And what was wrong is this helicopter type of constant worrying, fear, hovering over children, not allowing them to really explore this world, not understanding that children, just like all animals, have a serious self-preservation instinct, except for some people whose children who, whatever, go under the sink and drink a bunch of bleach and something. I could tell you that we had all kinds of dangerous things out all the time. And my daughter never went to endanger herself with them. If anything, I was encouraging other things. Like, you know, we had explorations of all types of what people would consider dangerous parenting actually happened. And my daughter's mom was fine with all of this. We agreed on everything about our daughter.
Wow.
It was,
that's great.
You know, I mean, personally speaking, we were just incompatible. I just didn't ask the right questions before the relationship got serious.
Oh, I can understand that. But that's good. That's great though that you didn't like that's what I'm saying. You didn't have to struggle, or you didn't have to just like go along to get along. It was like what you guys were at least in sync there. So, you know, despite your inability to work things out amongst yourselves, at least you could, you know, provide that united front. And that's what I was talking about, you know, that I'm trying to do. Because like I said, I mean, for the first year or so after we split up, it was rough. I mean, I didn't get to see my kids a lot. She withheld them from me. There was a lot of spite stuff going on. But we both kind of buried the hatchet after that and realized that, you know, for the kids, we got to, you know, we have to do this. Otherwise, they're just going to end up to be, you know, they're going to end up resenting both of us, you know, if we keep this up. So
there are obstacles, you know, like,
oh, of
and
course.
Sounds like, but you got over a bunch of them.
Yeah, you know, because like I said, now it's closer to, you know, they usually just stay here for the weekends, although my one daughter does usually ask to stay one extra night by herself, because that means her and I get to have movie night together, where she gets to watch movies that her sister doesn't like. but yeah, we try to do as close to equal time as we can. So yeah, it's a struggle, man, but it's definitely worth it.
Sounds like a great job. I'm giving you a good job, pin over here.
Oh, thank you. We'll be back after this trip to the market. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
How about a warning? You're about to share with my friend Michael W. Dean, a survivor, thinks about humanity and his methods for dealing with it. Brace yourself for some bare naked honesty. If you're willing to hear what Michael is saying, there are times when you'll laugh and times when you want to cry. In the retelling of his truths, he has defined it so you can feel it. Take his example and live. I warned you earlier because this book is written in the same way Michael speaks. He's a straight shooter, a no pretense, a no excuses kind of guy that I love like a brother. Understanding how we are to deal with negative people, Michael has answers for you. The human race has its aberrations and monsters, and unfortunately, sometimes they are close to you. Michael gives you his take on them and how he handles the noise. I can guarantee you will pick up a tool to use from a user's manual for the human experience. As Michael says, his life is a teaching hospital.
A user's manual for the human experience. Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. Get it now on Amazon.
Worms!
Welcome back. It's the Freedom Fiends, final segment of the hour.
Yes. And we have spent most of this, well, actually pretty much the entire first hour talking about parenting type stuff, which is good. It's, I have a lot of friends that are parents, but I don't have these conversations as much as I probably should, at least not anymore. I spend too much time focused on, you know, other things, you know, like, anarchy things and stuff like that. Plans on
Jeremy that. Doesn't call me enough.
Yeah. Yes, this is true. Well, you know, I don't call anybody. I'm horrible like that. I'm one of those people that if you don't call me or you don't reach out to me on a semi-regular basis, it's not that I forget you exist, but I go into hermit mode a lot where I just, you know, unless I'm with my kids, I'm just hanging out by myself.
Wait, you know, hermit mode, how old are your kids?
My kids are, they're going to be 6 soon.
Oh, forgiven for another 5 years.
No, oh, okay.
Okay. So, yeah. No. In other words, the job of that is, plus like everything that life includes. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Just like consider that you get a pass. It's a special pass.
Special pass.
It's a parenting pass.
I like special passes. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I'm obviously, when I'm with them, I'm with them. But if I'm not, like, if, you know, if they're with their mom or whatever, most of the time I spend by myself. And it's just, you know, I find ways to busy myself around the house here. Or be lazy with other things. And it's just the way I've always been, you know. I don't go out and party anymore because, well, I just can't afford it. And, you know, which is why I look forward to the different festivals and stuff. And also why I'm trying to get out of New York because, you know, hopefully where I'm looking to end up, there's already more of a community of like-minded people that I would probably want to hang out with more often. But, you know, like I said, for the time being, because I'm stuck up here and there's not too many people around here, if you don't call me, I forget to call people. I forget to check in, and I'm just like, I'm a horrible friend. That's what it really comes down to, man. I'm a horrible friend. I don't know why people keep me around.
No, Jeremy, you're not a horrible friend. But when you said festivals, some of the people listening, I don't know, people fixing their car or driving the semi-trucks across the interstates, what did you mean by festivals and the groovy people that you want to connect with?
Oh, the festivals, yes. Well, we've talked about it on this show many a time, but the different, you know, the different freedom type festivals, camping events and stuff like that that go on across the country now, and you know, just get-togethers.
Let's name them.
Pork Fest.
Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest.
Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest is, of course, my personal favorite.
Super favorite.
For the time being, you know, there is still a chance, depending on where I end up and depending on a couple other things falling into place, that the Seeds Fest will finally get up and running in the next year or two, which is a festival that my buddy Dave and I were going to get started, named after our podcast, The Seeds of Liberty. But we were looking to do it, and funnily enough, we were talking about this at the area during one of the breaks, possibly in Tennessee, even though it does get a little warmer down there. But we were looking for a more centralized spot to because things like, you know, you have Pork Fest up there in New Hampshire, you have the Midwest Peace Liberty Fest in Michigan, you have is it Agora Fest or that's up in the North Midwest section, like Minnesota and Wisconsin and South Dakota. I think it's been moving around too. I know Lou went to it a time or two. I think that's what it's called.
I think so. There's Jackalope.
There's Jackalope down in Arizona. There is
Anarchapoco.
Yeah, that's right. There's an Acapulco down in Acapulco, and there is Anarchon in the Maryland, I guess, Maryland, Virginia type area. And there's a couple, there's a couple other ones spread out, you know, across the country and stuff. But we were looking to try to do one in a more centralized location so more people could come to it. Because there's so many people I know that go, oh, I would love to see you at this particular thing, but it's just too far and, you know, stuff like that. And then they don't end up going. And, you know, I think the most central spot of the country is probably Kansas. But, you know, Kansas is just so boring and nobody really wants to go to Kansas. So we had looked at a couple of different other places and Tennessee was a possibility. And I have some friends down there. So one of these days we may work it out and start our own festival. So bring even more people together and get to live the way we theorize about, even for a little time, a little amount of time.
And right before we go away, I think I'll say, I think I'm going to try to make one over here someday.
There you go. I will definitely try to make that one if you start one up in Hawaii, Daryl.
Awesome.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to head off to the break, and we'll catch you on the flip side in the next hour. Worms.
Special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy, joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAT no government license. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCAT.org. So we are back for the second hour. I am Jeremy. I'm joined tonight by Daryl.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Daryl. And as we are now are in the second hour, we welcome our friends in Belle Fouche and Sundance Belle to the party. So thank you for joining us this evening, folks, with everybody else who's been here for the whole darn thing. And as we often do plead, you know, if you like listening to the second hour of the show, why not consider calling your local radio station and ask them to take both hours of the Fiends, so you can listen to the whole thing and not have to wait till the podcast comes out to figure out what we were talking about if we make references sometimes that go over your head. So
speaking of over your head references,
yes,
the last hour recap. What did we talk about?
Oh yes, last hour. Well, we did a lot of stuff to talk about parenting, since it was just Daryl and I, and you know, we started off. We covered vaccines, you know, with the allegedly disclaimer, of course, and then we shifted into the idea of co-parenting, and kind of got a little personal with both of us, and you know, talked about our experiences having procreated with women that we are no longer with, and then having to deal with the outcome of that. So you know, I think it was the bulk of it, right? We did a lot about that.
That pretty much covers it.
Yeah,
and then you know we got awards for somehow being successful parents.
Oh yeah,
and then we went to the market.
I think the jury's still out on that, unfortunately. I mean, I'd love to take the award right now. I'm not big on awards. That one I may just grab just because, you know, I may not get another one of those. But, you know, my kids are still so young that, you know, that I think the jury's still out. And I've, you know, as we talked about a little bit in the last hour, and I think we were talking more about in the breaks, you know, I will fully admit I've made my share of mistakes, you know, even knowing the things I know now. I still look back and go, man, I still could have done this differently. And because I wasn't, you know, it was a question that you had actually asked me, I think, off the air at the very beginning when we got on together tonight, about the whole idea of about spanking and about, you know, how I had handled that. And, you know, that was one thing that I actually didn't really think about very long and hard before I had kids. And it was only because I stumbled across, well, I didn't really stumble, I was introduced to the ideas of, you know, libertarianism and voluntarism through a guy who ended up becoming a very good friend of mine, and then through him being introduced to Stefan Molyneux's early work and his stuff having to do with peaceful parenting, and through that I found other people who were doing it, and that just happened to be right around the time my girls were, I think, one and a half, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Which you would never even consider spanking them, because I mean, when they're like 9 months or 12 months, you would never consider spanking someone who is 9 months old.
Yeah,
they were provoking me. That was intentional. Yeah, they were trying to mess with my mind.
Exactly.
It's like no. They're a baby.
Exactly.
You've got to protect them and care for them.
So it didn't come up during that time frame, but yeah. So I guess it was like closer to like one and a half when they were a lot more mobile and a lot, and communicating in their own way a lot more and stuff like that, and it was right around that time that I stumbled across that stuff, and I actually, there was one instance where completely out of anger and like I and just frustration, I did go to swap my one daughter's behind once, before I stumbled across all that stuff, like literally like a couple weeks later, I stumbled across all of that. But like after I did it, I felt absolutely horrible. And like I cried about it a bunch, and you know, it was just like, because like I said, up until then, I hadn't really thought about it. I just thought about the fact, you know, I got spanked as a kid. It happened when supposedly I was really, really bad. And, you know, I got paddled in school with my parents' permission.
Whoa.
By the principal for my continued bad behavior. So, you know, like that was just a part of my life that I just assumed was, you know, because my ex and I never really talked about it, because I can't remember. I don't think she was, but her brother was. I don't think she was spanked, but I think her brother was. But it was still like, it was just one of those unspoken things that we were kind of like, yeah, you know, if it comes to it, you know, we'll deal with it then. But, you know, we're not like, we weren't like anti-spanking or anything like that. Never even crossed our minds. But after that one incident, like I was a mess. Because I couldn't believe I went to go do it, and I went to go stop myself too, because I started to recognize what I was doing in the moment, but I didn't pull back all the way. Like it was still like, you know, I connected, and it was enough to like, you know, make me just feel like, you know, a horrible human being. And I did a lot of soul searching after that, and that's around the time that I stumbled across all this information, and I was like, oh my gosh, this all makes so much sense. I actually, you know, in the beginning, I actually tried to reach out to Molyneux and tell him that, you know, basically, you know, my kids owe you a huge debt of gratitude, because it's
a lot of kids, actually,
you know. So it's like, you know, thankfully, like, you know, and I even said like I made this one mistake, and you know, I felt horrible about it, but thanks to finding your stuff and it made, you know, and all the stuff you talk about and all the resources you pointed me to, yada yada yada. So it really was, you know, lucky timing, I guess, for my kids especially, very lucky. But now, like I said, looking back, I can't even imagine doing that, you know, because it just, especially with, there was another thing, you know, that recent study that came out a few months back, I guess, that has been like a long chronicled study. It's not like something that's just been hastily thrown together. It's something that's been going on for years, and it's just proving more and more that the negative outcomes of, you know, hitting children, which a lot of people don't even think of, just like me, because they take that attitude. Oh, I was hit when I was a kid, and look, I turned out fine.
Wow, I think I've heard that one before.
Well, of course. Like,
when, in fact, you know, at this point, if anyone says, well, I was spanked and I turned out fine, I wanted to know, who taught you to say that? But man, you know, like what I just wrote down when you were talking, Jeremy, was that you were paddled at school? I mean,
yes.
For real?
I was paddled in school, and that was elementary school.
Okay, that's pretty wild, because I guess I was in elementary school in Westchester County, New York, kind of upscale, not going to be doing that kind of thing there. I mean, it's abusive in the standard psychological kind of ways, if you know what I mean. And, you know, like turning a blind eye to bullying kind of thing.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, but, yeah. Well, like I said, I was. Yeah, my parents signed up. My mom was a teacher at that school.
Wow. Okay.
And she was friends with the principal, and she had to sign off on it. And then she sat there while I got paddled.
Wow. That's
yeah.
You know what I think of that? Okay. So like the whole state.
So hey, folks, you ever wonder why Jeremy is the way he is? Here you go.
Here we go. We're going in deep into the psyche. We're like one step further in the onion layer. So here's the deal. Like the whole state, as well, the powerful construction that controls education systems itself, and that school in particular, and the people who have control and they get the money and all that, it's kind of like a criminal gang, right? Because they have the monopoly and all of that. So basically, you were jumped into a gang. At that point, by being paddled, that was like the, you know, like part of doing it, something like that, where like at the lowest level jumped in, you know, at the highest level, then it's like a different kind of, I don't know, baby eating ceremony at the Illuminati Bohemian Grove kind of thing. But in the low level, it's being paddled in a school.
Yeah.
I mean, for the leaders of the world, so-called leaders, there's these really expensive elementary schools, lycée, over there in Europe. You can look this up, basically, where it costs, you know, somewhere in $250,000 per semester of sorts, I think, to have your child go there. And that's where the future leaders of the world send their children. They all go to this boarding school, and who knows what happens to, traumatically speaking, to them. But they're all going there, and they make connections that last a lifetime. You know, we're talking about, like, you know, where the Arab Emirates send their children, and, you know, where the kings of Europe, and where various high-level prime ministers and presidents, you know?
Sure.
That's allegedly. I would... Now we need the app allegedly, yes. So... I miss James.
Yeah, see, if James would be able to make it tonight, he would have covered all this for us. He is he's a wizard when it comes to that, the Pocket Alibi app.
Yeah, we're doing our best, James, without you. Yes.
But yeah, well, yeah, so I didn't go to one of those schools. I just went to a good old, you know, public school here in good old America. You know, I mean, it was considered one of the more, you know, one of the better school districts in the state of Pennsylvania. But, you know, I grew up at a time, I mean, I'm 40 now, so I grew up and went to I was in elementary school at a time where that type of punishment wasn't completely kicked out of the schools yet. You know, it was working its way out. I think I was actually one of the last kids who was paddled in that school. But it was. Now I'm remembering back. That was definitely, yeah, that was after an incident in fourth grade. So, yeah, there was fourth grade. What's that, 9, 10 years old, something like that? And my punishment for being in a fight and defending myself by somebody took a swing at me, so I responded by swinging my book bag that just, you know, was happened to be filled with books, but swung my book bag over my head and clocked him in the head, you know, and knocked him out cold. But
wow.
you know, because of that, oh no, actually, you know, it wasn't because of that, because we both were punished for the fight, me and this kid. And I remember his name too. It's so funny, just because he had a very interesting, his parents actually named him George Washington Westervelt. And you want to talk about blue blood. Like, he didn't belong in our school. He was he was one of those people who belonged in the schools like you were talking about.
Say the name again.
George Washington Westervelt.
Oh, yeah. Of the Westervelt clan.
So, GW, if you're out there, man, it's been a while.
I hope you're doing good, man.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
So your attempt at the Wampus Cat?
It is. Welcome back, Freedom Fiends listeners.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. And in the last segment, we were talking about spanking. And I was actually, right before the break, I mentioned a former schoolmate of mine who was part of the incident that caused me to get a paddle in school, as I had mentioned. And I was talking that through before, I realized, oh, yeah, it wasn't because we got in the fight, because, yeah, I mean, I did clock him over the head with a school bag, but, you know, we both got suspended for that. The paddling came, however, not because I hit him in the head with that. The paddling came because in the process of me hitting in the head with that and then attempting to run away from the situation, my teacher attempted to grab me by my arm as I ran past. And because I like stutter stepped and managed to dodge her grab, and she fell forward and landed awkwardly and like barely sprained her wrist and broke a nail. This was treated, and I'm not, like, this, I didn't really realize it at the time, but looking back on it afterwards, I came
to realize. What was your age?
Exactly. Again, this was in fourth grade, so I was 9 or 10 years old.
Oh.
Now, I did have a history, you know, stemming from, like, I think the first grade when I got suspended for the first time for calling my teacher Pinocchio. because she had a very large nose, long nose, and you know, the second grade I was suspended. Was that the music one? I think that was music. I ran away from the music teacher, and proceeded to run around the halls of the school, and refused to come back in. And then in the third grade, when we went outside for a little, you know, little field trip in the woods to go exploring and for some science class, and I caught a spider and brought it back to the classroom and kept it in my desk because, you know, we had those, the old desks where you had, like, you could put the books inside of it, but it had the opening that faced you, like your stomach. And it had that little pencil holder.
Yeah.
You know, the little divot where you can put your pencils and stuff in. So
everyone listening knows this.
Yeah, well, okay. Yes. So I put the spider in there, and I had a plastic case from some cards. So I just put that over top of it so it could walk back and forth in the little divot, but it wasn't going to go anywhere because it was covered. And I kept it there, and because my teacher eventually found out that the reason me and half the class weren't paying attention was because we were all looking at the spider in my desk, and when I refused to throw it outside, a chase ensued between her and I that ended up getting her locked out of the building because the kids, so I got some of the kids in the class to open the door for me from the outside that only opened from the outside and only opened from the inside, rather, and they opened it and let me in, and she ended up locked out, so I got suspended for that. So I had already had a history leading up to this event, obviously, but because of this fight and because of, you know, and then subsequently what happened with my teacher falling, I later found out that it essentially, the teacher falling was treated as me assaulting this teacher because she fell in her attempt to grab me, a 9 or 10 year old child. In her attempt to grab me, I did not hit her. I did not attempt to hit her. I didn't throw anything at her, anything. Just because I was running away. And she attempted to grab me and fell and broke a nail and, like, sprained her wrist slightly. You know, literally, she only had a cast on for, like, you know, one of those soft cast on for, like, less than a week. So she was fine.
Sounds like a way to save face, doesn't it?
I guess so, but, like... Yeah, because of that, my punishment was ratcheted up from a 5-day suspension to a 5-day suspension plus a paddling to be administered by the principal of the school.
Wow, I wonder if he really got off on that. I get to have a paddling this week. And he's like, he's really getting off on that, you know.
Like, I would hope not, but like I said, it's, you know, I just remember, like, being there and my mom being there and me looking at my mom and crying and, like, begging her to make it stop, and, like, her just sitting there going, nope, this is, like, basically you deserve this.
No, what does the principal look like? Does he look like that old guy on the Family Guy who's like
no,
I like it when Chris takes off his shirt?
No. He was a tall, lanky man. He didn't, you know, very businesslike. But yeah, it's disturbing, man. Looking back at it now, it's like, that's pretty twisted.
Yeah, if you get off on that, like, you think that creates a good world. A good world.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Talking about my lovely and cheerful childhood.
Specifically, one aspect of how you got paddled in school.
Yeah, and I had said to you during one of the last breaks that I wanted to bring something up, but I wanted to get your reaction on the air. I think you missed it. That was kind of the point of, like, the reasoning why I got paddled. Was because, like, to me, when I look back at it and realize what that was, just the fact that it wasn't because I got into a fight, it wasn't even because I had a history of being, you know, bad per se, it was because this teacher got injured. You know, and for me now, like, when I look at that, it's like I see how that's extended to, you know, so many people in positions of power. You know, it's kind of like the same thing with a cop, you know. You hear things like, you know, spitting on a cop is considered assault, you know, assaulting an officer, and assaulting an officer is worse than assaulting a regular citizen, regular plain old citizen, you know. So it's just, I think it's that mentality that kind of, like, sunk in with me, and look, like I said, looking back on it now, where I'm like, wow, man, that's really dark and twisted. Like, I always thought it was kind of messed up that I got paddled at that age, but again, I kind of shrugged it off after getting hit, you know, getting, well, I got the belt from my dad when I did get it, which, you know, didn't happen all the time, but, you know, when I was really, really bad, it did come out on quite a few occasions. So, you know, like I was talking earlier about the reasons of why I thought it was going to be okay to hit to spank my own children, and then quickly realizing how horribly wrong I was. You know, I just believed that was, I guess I deserved it, you know. So I kind of didn't think about it for a long time, but after coming to these, you know, realizations, after finding voluntarism and anarchism and stuff like that, and finding out about peaceful parenting, and now raising my own children, now looking back on that, and I think a lot of this is actually hitting me. A lot of this actually hit me thinking about this as you and I were having this conversation tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty big impact. I mean, I'm feeling the emotions over here.
So it's like, but what I'm talking about with the connection to the people in power and how they're protected, like that aspect really just clicked with me before. That's why I said I figured we might delve into that because it's interesting. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, you can do all these other things. You can put all these, you know, like, you know, as I explained, I had put teachers in awkward positions before, causing them to run after me and stuff like that. But none of them had ever become hurt in the process. But just that fact that, like, you know, you did this, you're still a kid, you know, 9, 10 years old. Still clearly, I mean, by all measures, you know, not really necessarily capable of all right and wrong in all situations, you know what I mean? Like, the cognitive development is well far from being over in that,
not
in that,
an adult
in that mind. Yeah. And you know, not that I, you know, like, you know, regardless of my thoughts on public school in general, and, you know, if I put myself in that, in the paradigm, and say, okay, you know, okay, this is how public school is, and you know, if you're going to have these suspensions or whatever, okay, for the fact that I got into the fight with this kid and cracked them over the head, you know, whatever, fine. The suspension I'm fine with, you know, in that regard. But to ratchet it up, to give this extra punishment, to, like, physically punish me because some person in power hurt themselves, you know, while I was just trying to literally get away. You know, like, I was actually trying to hightail it across the school to my mom's classroom.
If you had put swastikas and Hitler mustaches on and Gestapo uniforms on all those people, would it make more sense then if you replayed it in your mind? That they would, like, accuse you of that, like, of hurting them when they fall down and sprain their wrists? Would it surprise you as much if you saw them all as, I would say, stereotypical villains?
Well, you know? No, I don't think it would surprise me, but I don't even think it would take viewing him in that regard. Like, that's what I'm saying, because when I think of it in terms of what I've already had to experience here in the present with the police, or other people in a so-called authority, and how things are a quote worse crime if you injure them, because, you know, I clocked that kid pretty hard in the head with a book bag filled with, like, no less than 4 decent size, you know, hardcover textbooks. You know, and from what I remember, I knocked him out cold for at least he was out for a couple of minutes at least. So, like, I could have done serious damage to his, you know, to him. And him and I got equal days. We each received 5 days suspension for getting into a fight. Like that, and that would have been the end of it had the teacher not fallen. But, like, here I am, braining another kid my age and possibly causing him serious mental issues. Yeah. And we receive the same punishment. But because a quote unquote authority figure fell down and got a boo-boo in the process of attempting to apprehend me, I am subjected to, you know, greater physical punishment. And not only am I subjected to it, but at the willingly at the hands of my parents, you know, at the very least my mom.
Or your mom.
I was going to say my mom, because my dad wasn't actually there. I'm sure he didn't say no to it, because he himself is the one who used the belt. My mom actually, interestingly, my mom never hit me. Yeah. But she sat by while, you know, she sat back while my dad did on those occasions, and she not only sat back and watched She never watched it when my dad did it, but I think she had to by state law. Like, the twisted state law was it had to be okayed, and then the parent had to be present when it happened.
By the way, like, serious kudos to you, Jeremy, for surviving all this and somehow remaining logically and rationally intact and in control of your emotions.
Oh, I in control of my emotions. Ah, that's funny. I didn't remain logically and emotionally intact. I had to work very hard at this to get to this point, because I was, and I still, obviously, I mean, as certain events over the course of the past few months can attest to, sometimes I still have a problem controlling my emotions. But I had to work really hard at that after a lot of the things I went through when I was younger, because I think I've actually talked about this on the show before. I actually had to teach myself empathy, because going through all that and going through what I now believe to have been undiagnosed Asperger's, I really didn't have an empathy button for a good portion of my life. I had to teach myself how to have empathy towards other human beings.
That is the result of this type of treatment, by the way. I mean, that's what I mean by you survived and you got to this level of intact. Yeah, it takes years to deal with this level of damage. And when you get worse level damage, if you happen to be less durable than you or me, then you might never really make it through. And then you're one of those people who like to reenact the trauma on other people, you know. Like one of those people, one of the people who paddle,
yeah,
get off on it.
Wow.
But man, you got me in suspense, because I wondered, like, you know, ever since you mentioned during the break, like, I wonder what he's going to spring on me to have my honest on-air reaction.
Well, no, that's what I said. We did it. We blew past it. You didn't even realize it. it was this kid. Like I said, it was the reason for getting paddled, and why it was this this kind of epiphany I had about the whole positions of power and how they, you know, it's not just the police that are treated this way, and it's not even like a recent thing, because this is, you know, we're talking about when I was in elementary school back in the mid 80s, I guess. Late 80s?
I think it probably stretches back to the feudal days of ancient Europe. It goes back to before, to the, I don't know, whatever traumatic tribal scenarios were going on as the Sahara enlarged and engulfed that area. And it was a pretty traumatic event, allegedly, in history. But, you know, it's all this kind of stuff.
Oh no! I'm sure it's always been there. But it's like I look for examples to point out here at home. You know,
make it current. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, you know, it's coincidentally something else we were just talking about before. I think on the break, about staying away from social media and stuff like that, and before I wanted to stay away, it was the whole reason for being there was to try to connect with people and try to share these things, and try to share these experiences, because you know, a lot of people have gone through them and don't realize it, you know. But
it's good to take a break,
yeah,
from social media if you can afford it.
No, I can afford it. I don't make any money there, so that's, of course I can afford it.
I do, but, you know, not a lot, but yes, I do. I make clients on Facebook. I love it. I love that part about it. I mean, I like other parts about it too, and then sometimes I get embroiled into long comment threads, discussions about, for example, spanking, you know. Which, interestingly enough, for people who subscribe to the idea of anarchy, that means no ruler, and yet to consider that somehow they can excuse of hitting a child, that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, wow, what a huge power differential. That's like, you know, a huge, like, mixed martial artist taking on me. I weigh 140 pounds. Yeah. And I'm not a mixed martial artist expert. And by the way, size is hugely important in terms of combat, you know. So that's what it's like with, like, a huge adult and a little child. except for even more so, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that, as if like a humongous giant of 10.5 feet tall and humongously built was like, no, it's time to like for you to have the pain feeling now.
Yeah, well, when you put it in those terms, you realize how absurd it is. But most people don't want to put it in those terms.
Yeah, because if they had someone who was that size actually whooping them, I think they would change their mind on how necessary the experience was for their personal development. Oh, in my opinion.
I can almost guarantee it. Worms.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Welcome back. Final segment.
Yeah, we're going to try to find some redemption after the depressing last hour where we've been talking about the traumas of my childhood. Good times, good times, good times.
Being a child, having a child, yeah. So yeah. Some reduction I thought of was we have some amazing, awesome children who are seemingly likely to have really great lives.
Yeah, that's something to talk about. I mean, you know, every parent likes to think their children are wonderful. Well, actually, that's not true. Not every parent does. I've known plenty of parents who don't like to think that. But you know, that's the idea, right? You talk about, oh yes, of course, my child's the best. But no, I mean, I think despite where they've come from, considering, you know, everything I've gone through in my life, the issues that I still have, you know, the issues their mother has, the issues their mother and I had together, and the stuff that they've had to witness, unfortunately, when we separated originally, you know, they're still kicking butt, you know, and especially them who went through, you know, being born 2 months early, my one daughter who I've talked about before, who has CP. And the doctor's telling us that they're, you know, we have to be prepared for her possibly never to walk, you know, never walk without the help of different implements, you know. And, but no, despite all of that, they're still, you know, growing, thriving, learning. I don't know if it's just a coincidence or not, but they're not being forced into any education camps. So that might have something to do with the fact that they're so that they're thriving so well. I don't know. Maybe.
I am going to go ahead and speculate allegedly that is part of their thriving situation.
Yeah. You know, they have, you know, they might not have certain skills down yet where they're, you know, kids their age would being in, you know, having gone through kindergarten already and now heading into first grade or something. However that would have worked out. I forget, you know, I think that would have how that's they would have been heading into first grade now, I guess, maybe.
Home education?
Well, yes, unschooling.
That's awesome. See, like, that's like a redemption, that unschooling, not just with you, is seriously on the rise.
Yeah.
Spanking is on the decline, I think. I'm gonna pretend that. I don't really know. I'm going to hope so. And certainly awareness of dangers for children is exponentially growing now that people have access to actual information. Yeah. Actual information. Like, this show is actual information. That's interesting. That's a claim.
Yeah, well, you know, Well, you talk about safety. I don't know. Like, you can always go too far. You know, I think we talked about earlier about the helicopter parenting and stuff like that, which ends up being a problem. Which is why, you know, people like you and I encourage the whole idea of, you know, homeschooling, or even better yet, unschooling, and stuff like that, and a much more hands-off approach. Because, you know, I mean, obviously, like so many other things, you could talk about it. But here I am. I mean, here you are too. You know, I'm living it now. I'm doing this stuff. My ex and I have been implementing these things because, despite our issues, like we talked about earlier, we're doing the co-parenting thing now and have been, and we're on the same page with a lot of this stuff. Because of that, we're seeing the actual results. Like, it's not just, oh yeah, this sounds great in theory, you know, don't hit your kids and, you know, treat the, you know, raise them to understand logic and reason and autonomy at a much sooner age than any of us were, you know, most of us were afforded the opportunity for, you know. It sounds great on paper, but, you know, here it is, and I'm getting to do it, and it's kind of cool to see the results, you know.
Amazing to see it.
Yeah, I mean, please, I'm far from perfect. I definitely have a lot to improve, and I tell my kids that all the time. You know, I apologize to them regularly and say, "Daddy's still getting there," but, you know, I'm trying every day. get a little bit better. You know what I mean?
It is a challenge to go from the little kid being hit in front of your parent to being a responsible actual parent. You know, because out there, here's the deal. I mean, like, you know, people being parents, and you scheduled all this. You really didn't schedule the time to be with your children, so you send them to school. Well, you can do better than that. Home education is a possibility. That's my final message for this moment.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining me tonight, Daryl. This was great. Thank you, everybody,
awesome,
for listening. And for more of us, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Worms.